We get things underway by welcoming back to the program our friend from the Portland Press-Herald, Mike Lowe. Mike, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Rich. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Good to have you with us on an unexpectedly busy Monday with the news breaking yesterday that Nick Charlton is leaving the University of Maine to become the offensive coordinator and associate head coach down at UConn. It's not a surprise that he would leave. I don't know. Were you surprised at his destination?
Well, no matter how bad UConn is or has been lately, it is an FBS program, you know? And if you're the offensive coordinator and associate head coach in an FBS program and you have even a moderate amount of success, that's going to open doors to other FBS opportunities.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and not to mention a significant pay raise.
Right, exactly. Now, here's the thing. UConn hasn't announced anything official yet about this, and there's nothing out of UMaine regarding whether he's leaving or not, although most schools don't release anything about whether a coach is leaving. Nobody's talking about it, so we're all kind of in limbo here. You know, what's the next step in this situation, Rich? You tell me. You're close to the team, Rich. What's the next step?
Well, I can say that I have communicated with Nick, and he's confirmed with me that he is leaving. So
I understand that. But I find it interesting that UConn hasn't said anything yet.
And I wonder if they had an announcement yesterday. I wonder if they're trying to stagger some of those announcements just to get the most bang for the buck.
Possibly. Or maybe Nick hadn't talked to the players yet, and they didn't want to, include his name in that group. And that would be understandable as well, because, listen, you don't want to just leave and not talk to your kids. I mean,
right.
These are guys who are committing to you to, just to play for you. And if you're leaving, I think they want to hear it from you, not from a newspaper reporter or social media.
And I think he was, as you know, very close to this group, even closer than normal, I think, because this group really bonded in their battle to keep everybody healthy with COVID over the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah. I think of everything, that was probably what he was most proud of this team, was that they had no positive results. They fought their way through it. And like you said, they became a family more than a team, I thought, over this past 18 months, however long this COVID eternity has become.
I think it's a great move for him in a lot of ways. Obviously, the money, as you mentioned, the D1 opportunity, it's a little closer to his home. He's a Massachusetts guy. And certainly Jim Moore has got some contacts out there in the football world. That's not likely to hurt. And Jim Moore is 60 years old. I don't think he's going to be there for the next decade or so, but it creates some other opportunities for him. And having that on your resume, no matter how good the program is, if you're an FBS coordinator, they can't take that away from you.
No, they can't. That's what I mean. I think for him, I think there's been a couple of people who have mentioned to me, why Connecticut? I mean, aren't they horrible? Well, they're still an FBS program. Say they win four games this year and they win six games next year. Well, he's going to be part of that, revival, and people are going to notice that. Now, I don't know, their quarterback did enter the transfer portal today. So I found that interesting. He comes in now. He takes over, and he essentially has a clean slate to put in who he wants as a quarterback.
So the Connecticut's quarterback entered the transfer portal?
Yeah. Connecticut's quarterback entered the transfer portal today. Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, and of course, a lot of speculation as to what might happen here. Maine with two quarterbacks. Joe Fagnano went out with injury. Derek Robertson played very well, led them to a 4-3 record. And in this day and age, Mike, there doesn't seem to be room for two quarterbacks that can play well at most FCS schools. I would expect somebody will look to move on.
Well, we saw that with Chris Ferguson. I mean, certainly he got hurt, and Joe Fagnano came in and played very well. And, and then Chris went to Liberty after that season. The transfer portal has changed college football dramatically, all college sports, actually. I mean, as Nick told me the other day, you have to recruit the transfer portal.
Right.
You have to know who's in there. The moment somebody enters it, you better know. You better know, because if someone you're interested in you want to be right in on them. But he also said a very interesting thing is that you just can't go into the transfer portal and say, wow, that kid's the best wide receiver I've seen ever, especially at Maine. You've got to make sure the kid can survive in Orono, Maine, because it can be a very difficult place for someone to come to if they're not, if they can't put up with what could be solitude, which could be with what could be, you know, a much quieter environment than it would in a major city. So you got to be careful with who you recruit through the portal, but certainly it has become a huge part of college football.
So. Well, and I think that's the next question down the road a little bit is, do any players choose to follow Nick down to UConn? There's some young guys, talented guys on the defensive side that a lot of FBS teams, I think, would like to have, especially if they're in a rebuilding mode, young guys with a lot of eligibility left. And then you know, what guys may just choose to explore other options because there's a change in the coach.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you get four, you know, and I can only, you know, the four names that jump out at me of the senior group that were granted a fifth year of eligibility because of COVID, Mike Garacci, Devin Young, Adrian Otero, and Rich Carr. Now, how does this affect them? Now, I had heard that they were all thinking of coming back next year for a fifth year. You know, do they indeed come back next year? Who knows? It could be obviously anybody can transfer, but those are four of the quality seniors. You know, you and I both know how much those guys meant to this team this year. And are they now going to go elsewhere? A lot of interesting decisions will be made in the next, you know, coming weeks. And the head coaching position is going to be one of them. I mean, has this position become a stepping stone? That's the question, because you had continuity with Jack Cosgrove for so many years. And then you had Joe Harris Simiak leave after 3 years, and now you've got Nick leaving after 3 years. And it's hard to recruit to a school where you may not have the same head coach through your college career.
Right, and I think that's the question that I'm sure Ken Ralph and probably the president, certainly the rest of the athletic department, has to answer first and foremost. Do they want to commit to paying a more competitive salary, even within the CAA? It's the lowest paid job in the conference. Last I knew, it was the lowest paid D1 job in the country. And you know, if you don't pay more money, the reality is you'll be doing this every 3 or 4 years. And so,
and at some point, you know, high school kids see that. And,
right.
And, you know, and yeah, they tell you don't go to a school because of the coach. Well, let's face it. If you've got a dynamic coach who's going to sell you on the school, you're going to want to play for that guy.
That's right.
Right. That's why you go there. He's your first contact with the school. But if you have to replace him every 3 years, then, you know, and let's say before Jack, there was so much, turnover in the coaching position at Maine. If you remember that, you know, before, you know, Jack was Kirk Ferentz, and then it was Lichtenberg for a year, and there was
Tim Murphy, Buddy Tevens, Ron Rogerson, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was boom, boom, boom. And none of them were here for more than 3 years, you know. Jack bought that continuity. He brought stability to the program. And let's face it, you know, Jack had a pretty good program here. They weren't always competitive, but that's the way it is up here. You're not always going to get those great players to come up here. You're going to have to deal with what you have. And what Jack did up here was amazing. He got them into playoffs. You know, they won a couple of titles. And then, you know, Joe Harris Simiak obviously comes in and he gets into the national semifinals. And his reward is he gets a raise at an FBS school. And now what Nick has done, and I'll tell you what Nick's being rewarded for, is Nick's being rewarded for, A, that offense that the Maine has put out for his entire time as either the offensive coordinator or head coach has been very impressive. And B, as you said earlier, they got through COVID, you know, very well. Mm-hmm. So it showed that he could hold a team together is what that showed, you know. I think that's what he's being rewarded for. And it's good to see.
Absolutely. Well, he's a great guy. We're talking with Mike Lowe here on Downtown. So I would think the timeline has got to be fairly quick because of other things, or the nature of recruiting and the transfer portal and all else. Yeah. And so
December 15th is the first day of the early signing period.
Right.
You better have somebody in place for that.
Does that mean, do you think, that they choose to do what they've done the last couple of times and stay internal where they've probably got three or four candidates that could step in and give some continuity?
I think that's the logical thing to do. But, you know, I think this program is going to draw, this opening is going to draw some interest. I really do. This is a pretty good, if everybody comes back, Nigga told me we had most of the team coming back next year. If that is true, then this is going to be a very competitive team in the CAA the next couple of years.
And there are a lot of people out there with Maine ties who may have some interest in this. And we've already heard names like Dennis Dotton Carter, Jordan Stevens. There's Mickey Fine, who applied when Joe Harris Simiak got the job and was a finalist for it. And I talked to Bobby Wilder yesterday, the former coach at Old Dominion, former offensive coordinator at Maine, who said he'd be very interested in this Maine job.
Yeah, I think Bobby would be a very good fit. He's a guy who had, he's a Maine kid, first off. He's from Madison. He knows what football means to the state. You know, he played at the university. He knows what it means to compete here and what it takes to be successful here. And he coached here, and he recruited here. And so he knows what type of kids to get here. He would be a very, very good candidate for this position. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I do think it's got to be done fairly quick. Or they name an interim coach. That is the other possibility, name an interim head coach through the early signing period if they really want to, if they're, the salary, Nick was making $153,000 a year. Now, let's face it, Bobby Wilder in his last year at Old Dominion was making $650,000. So, and I'm pretty sure he knows that he's not going to get that at Maine if he were to be a candidate. But I would expect that there would have to be some movement on the university's part to make sure that they can keep a head coach here longer than just 3 years.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, might be seeing if they can get some money invested in those assistant coach, especially the coordinator salaries, so you can keep good people there as well. Well, it's going to be a very interesting period here. I'm told by people at the university they're in the process of putting together a search committee. I don't know if they'll announce that in the next couple of days, but I expect we'll hear at least something soon from up there, probably after UConn makes its announcement.
Probably, probably be at like 5 or 5:30 at night.
Whenever it's going to be most inconvenient for you, that's when it'll happen.
Well, not just for me, but for anyone in the media. And that's just the way it is. The biggest announcements invariably come between 5 and 6:30 always. So
keep that phone handy, Mike.
Yes, it's always in my pocket, at least. So.
There you go. Well, Mike, we appreciate you making some time for us this afternoon, and I'm sure we'll talk again before this is all resolved.
I'm sure we will. You take care, Rich.
All right, be well. Mike Lowe, the Portland Press Herald, here on Downtown on that big news story of the last 24 hours involving the University of Maine football team.